Okay, Daf. Hey, Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of the wide lines, about 60% down. The last word on the line is Verebi. But you can take your time finding it, because I want to first sum up and... But it's Hayam with Aleph, about 60% down the wide lines. I'll also preempt something of an apology. It's not going to be so fast, the amplifier. It's going to take a little longer, because we'll probably have to get it from Chutzlars. That's what it looks like now. So it might take a little longer. Okay. We're in the middle of the very fundamental subject of Yisurim. Affliction, when Hashem afflicts us. And I want to sum up just briefly what we've seen in the Gemara until here, what we've discussed, and then take it to the next step. So, meanwhile, we saw the Gemara putting it down in a pretty clear sequence. Hilchis suffering. The halachas of suffering are, first, you see if you have any averis. No averis. Then, you figure that it's probably because of Bittul Torah. No Bittul Torah, then you can attribute it to Yisurin Shel Ahava. And as we discussed, we're just putting it in that sense, it sounds like you never really get to Yisurin Shel Ahava, because who can say that they never wasted a minute? But we're going to see soon, we're going to put this into a much more practical perspective. But we'll get there, one thing at a time. But what we also discussed was, we began discussing what Yisurim Shel Ahava is, and that's where I want to continue today. Yisurim Shel Ahava, meanwhile, we saw two fundamental approaches. Number one is that, we'll put it simply, Yisurim Shel Ahava is coming to atone for sins that you are unaware of in order to enable you to get atonement. Meaning, first level is sins that you're aware of, you do tshuva for it. You don't find any sins, you can assume that it's coming for to atone for sins that you're unaware of, that you forgot about, in order for you to be able to go unhindered into Gan Eden. On a more subtle level, it's actually coming to atone for things that you would not have been held responsible for, not real averis. I also want to put that into perspective. When I gave the example the other night of a person who one time didn't have kavan in three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, I want that to be taken right. I was trying to give an extreme example of something that won't be held against us. It was meant as an extreme example, not something that we all have to start worrying about, when are we going to get punished for that. Something that is beyond you, yet when you reach a certain level of greatness, that now you should really gain admission to a much higher place in Gan Eden, Hashem says, but this place in Gan Eden only has people on a caliber that they never had that failure. So here Hashem says, even though if you would have just stayed plain you, I would have never punished you for this, but now that you're reaching these heights, I want to cleanse you even more so you can get even further. That's...
Down here, we're being taught that we have to be very accepting and inclusive. Up there, they're so discriminating that they can't even mix on a right...
What do you mean down here? I don't understand the down here as opposed to up there.
Down here, all the instructions are that we merge and we can come on. Up there, people, whoever's up there, it's like, you know, oh, you're not one of
them. It's not an issue of segregation, it's an issue of displacing Gan Eden is for people who are on a certain level.
What's segregation?
All right, so you're doing away with the whole concept of different people being in different places of Gan Eden. It's not about segregation. Is first place about segregation, or that you didn't pay as much? First place on the plane is not because they don't want you with the other customers. They don't let you in because you didn't pay. That's what this is. In order to get to a certain place, you have to be on a certain level. Okay. That basically sums up where we stood the other day. No, it doesn't yet. That's approach number one. Approach number two is it has nothing to do with sin. You can have a person who has a perfectly clean slate. And the point of Yisurin Shel Ahava is, Hashem says, this person basically made the most out of himself. But he can go further. There's more potential in him. And therefore, not yet, but I'll probably get there soon. Thanks. And therefore, Hashem says, I'm going to make his life difficult now in order to enable him to reach the next level. The next level of avoda. It's kind of like, think in terms of a computer game where you get past the easy levels and now all of a sudden you're faced with a very challenging level that you can't get half as far as you got in the earlier levels. That's the idea. We want to see how good you really are. It's more than we want to see how good you really are. Hashem is giving you the opportunity to rise even more. That is the next approach of Yisurim Shel Ahava. Hashem wants you to be able to maximize the your life in this world. Okay, that's where we stand. That's where we stand. What's that? That's true. Rabbi Yaakov is asking, but then there's a risk involved because he can fall too. The truth is, this world is all about risk. Being born is a risk. But it's a risk that Hashem says is worthwhile. When a person is born, there's the big sakana that he won't make it. He'll end up wasting the opportunity, end up going to Gehenna, end up in a worse place than he started out before. But Hashem says, that's right. I'm imposing this risk upon you, whether you like it or not, because the potential profit is worth the while. And therefore Hashem says, also at this point, I'm taking you to the next level. It's something you can handle. Hashem will not put you into something you can't handle. The purpose is for you to succeed, but you can mess up there the same way you were able to mess up on the earlier levels. Yashukaya. Thank you. Cleansing imperfection, that's the idea. The point is not so much that it makes as though you achieve things. Here we're talking about a person who at the age of 20 wasn't on the level, but at the age of 50 he's soaring high, and he reaches theoretically he's already at the level of the Arizal, right? But the thing is that the Arizal never had its filah without Kavana. So is he going to remain limited, not be able to break past that point? So therefore we say yes. Rectification of failings in the past come through Yisurim. And that's basically based on the idea that we explained the other time in answer to Rabbi Yaakov's question, that you want to be able to come up there feeling that I worked for it or paid the price. Okay, now I want to move on to the next, a couple of other takes, just fundamental takes that it's worth understanding, because also these are ideas that are thrown around in a vague way, and I think it's important if we're going through the sugya to gain clarity in some of these fundamental concepts. There are about three more approaches on Yisurim Shel Ahava that are worth understanding. There's the famous concept of kapara that we haven't mentioned yet. The famous concept of kapara. Many of the authorities, Rashi, the Maharsha, Ben Ish Chai, plenty of others say that the concept of Yisurim Shel Ahava means you were chosen to atone for your generation or for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Now let's understand this, because this also sounds weird. Klal Yisrael is judged on one level, each person is judged on an individual basis. On another level, Klal Yisrael is judged as a whole. And therefore we know that if, for example, Hashem decides that the Jewish people deserve to be punished, it's not going to matter anymore whether you personally were righteous or not. Once the decree is issued against the generation, let's say as a whole, the righteous might be the first to suffer. That's the way it works. Because it's Klal Yisrael as a whole. Now, sometimes Hashem sees that there's a person who's on the level that he would be willing to take it for everybody else. Meaning, theoretically speaking, once it's the generation that needs to be punished, then the punishment already gets issued in an indiscriminate way. That's the way Hashem operates in this world. Generation as a whole. And sometimes you might have, yes, a righteous person who suffers more than others. The Holocaust was clearly the result of spiritual decline in Europe. And yet, there were such martyrs as Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, the Pius Etzner Rebbe, and other such great people who certainly didn't personify that decline. That's the way it works. Listen, let me finish the thought. So now, Hashem will sometimes realize that here's a person who would be willing to take upon himself the punishment that's actually coming to the Klal. He takes it upon himself. He suffers for them. They achieve atonement. He now is credited with doing chesed with all of Klal Yisrael. Rashi and others. People what? Oh, that's an added point. I'm gonna get to that. Right. What I'm saying is sometimes it won't be that way. Holocaust is not a case of that. I was just giving an example of how once the decree is implemented, it's implemented collectively. But sometimes it won't be like that. Sometimes there's a decree leveled against all of Klal Yisrael that will then be channeled at one specific person. And everybody else is off the hook. Why that person? So, and this is a very important point. Thank you for reminding me. The Ikaron spells this out. Rashi hints at it. The Ikaron spells this out more. He says, often, and this you see this all the time. A punishment is imposed, and all of a sudden everybody is saying, why would Hashem do this? It's not fair. We weren't deserving. I'll give an example of it. After the Holocaust, an irreligious artist published a painting of a shamish with the little cap on his head, standing in a shul, in a European shul, which is all smashed after Kristallnacht. And you see the shamish, the pious-looking Jew with the beard and the cap on his head, right? And he's standing there like with tears in his eyes looking at the wreckage. And underneath it says, right, the shamish is standing in the shul. Underneath the caption is, can't even say, Hashem, we were here. Where were you? Okay? Who made this picture? You were where? You were in the shul? He made a picture of some theoretical shamish. What do you mean, we were here, where were you? Where were you? You were in the shul? This is an irreligious artist who has the gumption. Look how Hashem punishes the pious. We were here, where were you? That's the way the public will often respond to these things. Hashem says, I was here, where were you? And that's why this happened. Right? No. Most of European Jewry were not in the shuls at that time. We hate to say it. We hear the stories about the pious, and it's brought across in a melodramatic way. But we have to have a sober understanding of what was going on in Europe at that time. It's a big subject. It has to be addressed on its own. So 1 minute. Let me just finish the train of thought. I think it was now. This phenomenon is problematic. Chilul Hashem is caused unjustly. And therefore, sometimes it's too bad. But sometimes again, when Hashem has a willing volunteer, Hashem, this sort of Yisurim come on the ones that Hashem deems willing volunteers. When Hashem has a willing volunteer, he says, you know what? He doesn't say this to Hashem. There's no actual discussion beforehand. Hashem deems a person on this level. In a theoretical way, what happens is, this person, so to speak, tells Hashem, I can absorb it all with the right attitude. No chilul Hashem will come out of it. It can be implemented. This generation will get its punishment without any chilul Hashem, because I can take it right. The way the Ikaron puts it is, b'sever panim yafis. Right, we know the term, b'sever panim yafis. He takes it with a smile. And therefore, this person achieves another great merit. First of all, he's the how do you say the buffer? Yeah, he absorbs it. He absorbs it for Klal Yisrael. And there's a very great element of Kiddush Hashem here, because he takes it right. No widespread Chilul Hashem is caused. In fact, that's one of the problems with divine punishment. Hashem says, there's such a concept that in addition to the punishment, those who brought about the punishment, those responsible, will also be held responsible for the Chilul Hashem involved. That is saved by a tzaddik coming and taking it upon himself. Again, it's not that a tzaddik volunteers, but Hashem deems this person the right person. He'll take it upon himself, and he will be the kapara for the others. Not consciously, that's right. It's not consciously. Hashem says this is a person who will take it with the right attitude, and therefore I'm going to bring it upon him. This person then gains the eternal merit of having saved his generation and of having saved the great Chilul Hashem. What's that? Yes, they based it on a pasuk in Yeshaya, which describes Melech HaMashiach, and it's a very, very Jewish concept. Many Christian concepts are Jewish concepts, and they came up with a few of their own, which they borrowed from other sources. See Kuzari Shir. Okay. The Christians also have another ideal. You shall love your fellow man like yourself. It's also got familiar sources. What's that? Well, David HaMelech said, Tov Hashem l'kol v'racham av l'kol ma'asov. We recite it. Some of us connect to it more, some of it less. Many people say it completely mindlessly and don't identify at all. I don't know if Hashem is that good to me. I could have a better life. Right? And then there are people who don't say it at all. I remember being in the hospital. I was once in the hospital with my kid, very allergic. I heard a woman, she was there with her child, a woman dressed like a Jewish woman shouldn't be dressed, and all of a sudden she's analyzing God's performance. Her kid had a rough situation, so did mine, and her in Hebrew, "Ze ani lo yichola lekabel." God, she said, certain things I can accept, but that God should do this, I can't accept. First of all, you know, let's be a little bit more in line with God before you start passing judgment. But besides that, 1 minute, he's the one who gave you your whole sense of wrong and right. Okay, whatever it is. But yes, no, there is such a concept in you. You hear people expressing it that way. What's God doing? Okay, that... it could be both. Meaning, when Klal Yisrael is at fault, and Rabbi Yaakov is asking, what is he atoning for? Punishment in this world or punishment in the next world? And the answer, by definition, is both. Because punishment in this world is coming to atone for punishment in the next world. So by the tzaddik absorbing the punishment in this world, he's eliminating the punishment in the next world. Oh, no. The din as a generation is just in this world. Yeah. Okay. Generally, we said generation is the Jewish people of today.
Whoever's allowed to
get. Yeah, yeah. The truth is that we find that there are tzaddikim who can cover even more than that. Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, my son and I, plus, who was it? Chizkiyo? Remember. I think he said, if we have me, my son, and Chizkiyo, together we could atone for all of Klal Yisrael from Matan Torah until the coming of Mashiach. Okay. That's another very fundamental point.
And all of a sudden,
Why not? Meaning, what's bothering you about this case more than...
No, I'm just saying, when I'm ready, I'm caught. Because sometimes, not like that, right here. Why is this going to do it?
Right. We don't know. It's we can never really know which of these reasons it is. At the end of the day, you will never be able, almost never, be able to pinpoint the case and say, this is why this happened. But we have a list of possible reasons, all of which are used. You just don't know in which case what it is. Now the case that you gave is another example. I want to just give a couple of more manifestations of this concept of Yisurin Shel Ahava. Another case which is similar to what we just described, but not exactly the same thing. Sometimes a person suffers in order to inspire other people. For example, there was a girl here in the neighborhood who died about 2 years ago. Alta Maria Weissman. Heard of her? No? Weissman. Father Davin's Amasis Mordechai. She was very sick for many years. Very, very sick for many years. And this drove her parents to begin all kinds of very, very chashuva projects. Tehillim. All kinds of very chashuva projects. And many people davened for her for a long time. And she ended up dying. But even in her death, many people took on all kinds of different special things in her memory. This girl was made to suffer in order to inspire people. She goes up to Olam Haba and gets the scar of a Rebbe, of a Rosh Yeshiva, who taught Torah. Because she taught people. She taught people through being sick. She brought people to higher levels of spirituality through being sick. That's another case where a person can suffer and actually is getting this chus of causing a lot more merit than he would have been able to achieve through his own capabilities. She didn't do anything. That's right. Why should she get that? I think she was too young to do that. But, I don't know how to explain when you're talking about... I would say right now, why did her parents suffer?
Right.
As far as her parents go, this is a very good explanation. So the Chovetz Chabad says that many times a tzaddik will become sick because other people will be inspired from the way he relates to it. And therefore, he's giving a much more powerful shir than he'd be able to give in the Mismedrash. And what if the tzaddik doesn't accept it right? Then he failed the test, unfortunately. There is one condition to achieving the benefit of Yisurin, only one. It's easy, that Vilna Goyen says that therefore Yisurin are called affliction of love. Other areas of achievement in spirituality require a lot of work. Yisurin is easy. Well, I'm saying what the Vilna Goyen says, I'm not saying it's easy. Just accept it lovingly. And you've achieved very great merit. You've achieved very great reward. They weren't interested. Ah, we'll see. We'll see. Let's leave that aside now. We'll see. It will. We'll see. That's a different story. That's a different story. No, I'm talking about when Hashem does bring suffering upon a person. When Hashem brings suffering upon a person. What you brought up, I want to leave for a sugi in two blot for now. Okay. A couple of more fundamental understandings on this subject. Again, I think it's worthwhile, once we're on this subject, taking out the time. Accept it lovingly means not to be upset. Why is this happening to me? But to relate to Hashem. Say, I realize this is Hashem doing this to me. And if this is what He wants for me, I accept it. And it's a little challenging. Because you might be going to the doctor and trying to eliminate the illness at the same time. In the case of illness. It could be all different kinds of things. But the two don't have to be contradictions. You go through the natural means of trying to rectify the situation, while at the same time you're saying, but whatever suffering I am undergoing, I'm accepting willingly. Now I want to move on to the next, another couple of very fundamental understandings here, before we move on. The Ramchal has another approach, which is also very, very profound and worth understanding. The Ramchal says, this is more relevant to a suffering tzaddik, meaning a tzaddik who has a rough life in general. And people look at him and say, why should such a great person have that sort of life? So the Ramchal says, what is Hashem's state in this world? Hashem's, the Shekhinah is downtrodden. Hashem's honor is being trampled all the time. So to speak, right? There's Hester, there's what we call Hester. Hashem's greatness should be the most apparent thing in the world, but yet it isn't. There's all kinds of things that seem to conflict with it. All kinds of things, that's what we call Chilul Hashem, that seem to counter Hashem's oneness. But really, it's all leading up to the purpose of it all is that ultimately Hashem will show how all the things that seem to be conflicts to His glory will prevail, come through, and we'll see how these things actually led up to it. Now, one of the biggest manifestations, one of the biggest things that seems to challenge Hashem's power in this world is when you see the righteous people suffering. Right? He's doing what Hashem wants. He should be having a great life. So Ramchal says, that person was chosen to be a part of this sublime function of the world. To begin by concealing Hashem's oneness, which will ultimately be brought out. This tzaddik is with Hashem in the situation of Hester. Right? Hashem's glory is concealed, and that manifests through this tzaddik as well. And when Hashem's glory will ultimately be revealed, this tzaddik will have been a part. And the idea is that the more it looks like Hashem's not here, the greater the effect of the revelation will be. That's why Hashem kept the Jewish people, brought them to the lowest state of despair in Mitzrayim. But if you just take a nation living in Canaan and give them the Torah, okay, it wouldn't be so excited. But they were all the way at the bottom, and suddenly they were shot to the top, the effect is much different. So when it looks so dark, like there's such a vacuum as far as Hashem goes, and then all of a sudden it's brought out in its full light, the contrast enhances the effect. And these tzaddikim are the ones who were chosen to partner with Hashem in achieving this function. They are helping to create that effect of Chas v'Shalom, not Hashem. And then they are contributing to the great effect of Hashem's ultimate revelation. And the schar for that is undescribable. Even if you just think about it in terms of the privilege of being a part of what's going to be the greatest revelation. That's the Ramchal. When Mashiach comes, in this world. That's right. By that time, all these things are contributing to the effect of concealment, which is ultimately countered by the ultimate revelation. Could be an effect of 1,000 years. Okay. Alright. Now, I think we've put down some very, very fundamental understandings here in order to be able to get an idea of what the concept of Yisurin Shalava is, in order to also begin to appreciate a little bit. If we think of it in these terms, it also makes the experience different. If we actually, Chas v'Shalom, are chosen to go through something. Think of it in these terms. Okay, now before we move on, I just want to step back for one moment and put the whole picture into a much more practical perspective. Then we'll move on. We said that there are three steps, right? Hilchus Yisurin. Three steps. First, is it due to an Aveira? You reach a conclusion that not. Is it due to Bittul Torah? Then you can conclude that it's affliction of love. I want to put that into more practical terms. The way we had it the other day is, you can never get past the Bittul Torah stage, because you have to be able to ascertain that over the last rememberable past, I didn't waste a minute. That's highly impractical. It's highly doubtful if anybody could reach that. But the truth is that other Mepharshim put this into a much more practical perspective. The idea is like this. You're afflicted, the first step is, am I doing something wrong? And you have to be honest with yourself. But the Mabit and other Mepharshim stress, we're not talking about digging up undiscoverable things. We're talking about taking stock of your spiritual situation. Do you know that there's something specific you've been doing wrong, or you've done wrong in the past? Fix it up. If not, you go on to the next level, which is Bittul Torah in the sense of as follows. A lot of spiritual growth is not clearly definable as to what you have to do. When it comes to halacha, mitzvahs and aveiros, you know that you must do mitzvahs aseh, you're not allowed to do aveiros. But then there's a gray area. You're supposed to be learning. How much? It's not true to say that if you can figure that you wasted a minute in the last 2 weeks, that's why the Yisurim are coming. Because a person is not expected. A person is expected to learn according to his level. Now, it's tricky. Because on the one hand, don't go past your level. On the other hand, don't slack. You have to be making progress all the time. You have to be filling your capacity with spiritual pursuit. Like that with davening also. You have to be working on getting ahead in your davening. You shouldn't spend your whole life dreaming through davening. But at the same time, Hashem doesn't have complaints that you didn't have kavanah in every word from Moida'ani until after Olenu. Because it's beyond you. But what? You have to be putting in efforts to get ahead. What exactly is the pace? People like to have things handed to them, clear and cut. But it doesn't work that way. Requires a lot of thought. Requires trial and error. That's all part of the process. You have to figure out, how much should I be doing? How much should I be pushing myself? So what we're being told here is the first step, see if there's anything wrong in a clear-cut way. If not, then you have to assume that Hashem is telling you, Bittul Torah, you are not maximizing your capabilities. You could be doing more. I want you to push further. You are taking it a little too easy. That's what's being said here. We're not being told, oh, hey, like the Vilna Gaon, right? The Vilna Gaon one time made Cheshbon HaNefesh on Erev Yom Kippur. He was taking stock of his last year. He came to the conclusion that over the year he had wasted 18 minutes. That was the Vilna Gaon's tshuva on Erev Yom Kippur. Now that's not what we're being told here. That was for the Vilna Gaon. But that's not what we're being told here. What we're being told is, Bittul Torah in the sense of, could you be doing more? Often the Yisurim, the affliction, will be a wake-up call. Come on, pal. You've been sitting around, but you can be doing more. That's the idea. If not, then you move on to the Yisurim Shel Ahava level. So this is something that is very relevant to all of us. Now, I want to finish off this stage of the discussion just by putting it into another very important perspective here. All Yisurim qualify as this opportunity. Meaning, whatever it is, any form of suffering is a profitable prospect. Because already, by just saying, I acknowledge this is from Hashem, it's either to wake me up, or it's because He wants me to accept it willingly. Bowing your head and saying that, right, is already a very great achievement that makes the suffering worth it. And we'll see in the next world. You don't see that in this world. You'll see it in the next world. It's a very great achievement to be able to say, I acknowledge that this is coming from Hashem. Now, what level of suffering can earn you this money? So here we go back to what we said before. Obviously, no Yisurim are too big. But what Yisurim are too little? So Chazal tell us, and this has to be understood because this is very, very profound. Chazal tell us, you stuck your hand into your pocket for a dime. You came up with a nickel. And now, shoot, you have to stick your hand into your pocket again. That is Yisurim. That is Yisurim. That is called suffering that can earn you this reward. Now, we have to put this into perspective, because if you're now going to define that as suffering, you're going to turn into the biggest kvetch alive. Right? Person, ask the person, how was your day today? Oh boy, it was a rough day. I woke up in the morning I was ready to brush my teeth. By accident, I took my wife's toothbrush first. I had to put it down and pick up mine. And the day just continued like that. It was one thing after the other. When I came down for breakfast, there wasn't a fork in the drawer. I had to take it from the thing over the sink. It was a very, very, very rough day. Okay? Hashem doesn't like a kvetch. But what's the idea? What's the idea? So we have to understand something else. And here I'm going to be a little bit harsh. We spoke about the Holocaust before. Now, again, I'm not talking about people who actually went through it. I'm not talking about that. People went through it, I don't relate to it. Or we can't begin to relate to them. But I'm talking about someone today. Someone today comes and says, how could Hashem have allowed a Holocaust to happen? People who come with that approach have a God who must be half blind, half deaf, or spends most of his time on the golf course. What do I mean? They're bothered. Why didn't Hashem wake up when the Holocaust happened? 1 minute. When you had strep last week, it's not the same question. Why should Hashem let that happen? Oh, well, maybe he didn't notice that. Again, he's half blind, half deaf. A Holocaust, he should have noticed. When you had strep, he shouldn't have noticed. When small things happen, he shouldn't have noticed. When a person really, really lives with the keen awareness that Hashem is with him every second, is focused on him intensely, you should not understand why the dime came up instead of the nickel. When you really go through life with the feeling of I'm hand in hand with Hashem the whole time, you should expect the right coin to come up. And if it doesn't, why did that happen? So when Chazal tell us that relating to this sort of thing is Yisurin, that qualifies as Yisurin, but they're actually telling us, they're giving you a barometer of what sort of level you should be living with Hashem on. That yes, when you come up with that, you say, oh, Hashem, you did that to me for a reason. Maybe there was something. Did I forget Bracha Achrona after breakfast? Now, you might make yourself a little crazy. First of all, I'll just say one thing. When you do live with Hashem on this level, you will see a lot more things falling into place than you used to. Silly things. You have to take notes. Silly things. But I'll also say that we're not necessarily talking about making yourself meshuggah and saying, oh, the wrong pair of socks came out. Okay, sit down and start scratching your head. But if you can, when that wrong thing comes up, you say, Hashem, you wanted that to happen? Okay, I accept. Then take it to the next level. You know when you know the benches that whenever you try to get through when the benches that turn up, it's a little tight, and about once in 3 weeks you'll bang your shin, and it really hurts, right? How do you relate to that? Usually there's either a darn or something more juicy, and then you go on. There's not much more to it. If it's at home, you could somehow figure out why it's your wife's fault. But if it's in shul, what are you going to do? Okay? So you express your frustration and you move on. When you start thinking in these terms, Hashem did that to you. Why? He wanted to see, can you accept that? Can you handle that? I sent that your way. So when you bang your shin, when you're going like this, and you say to yourself, I accept. Your life is going to be cutting. It's going to be a lot. You can be earning in all directions. But that's the idea. That's really what it boils down to. You can only relate to these types of things of Yisurim if you really are living with Hashem in a very serious way. Otherwise, yeah, a Holocaust is Yisurim. Person gets there, some major occurrence happened, Yisurim, and now you're surprised. Why didn't Hashem notice that? Okay. I think we've done this subject basic justice. Meanwhile, now let's move on to the Gemara. We'll see where the Gemara is going to go with this further. Okay, so now it's time to find the place. I told you I have a few minutes, but the time has come. Okay, so we're on Hamad Aleph, about 60% down the wide lines. Verabi. See, last word on the line is Verabi. Okay? Just give a little nod if you found it, so I know where we're up to. What? Yeah. Just back up a little bit. But that's where it is. Okay? Everybody with us? Last word on the line is Verabi. About 60% down the wide line. Last word on the line. Verabi. What's that? Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi and somebody... okay. Now, if you got the place, back up a few words. If you don't have the place, don't worry. You'll be okay. Back up to Pligiba. A new point. Pligiba, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Rabbi Acher Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi and Rabbi Acher Bar Chanina had the following machlokes. Chad Omar, one said, Elu hein Yisurim Shel Ava. The following, he's giving another qualification for Yisurim Shel Ava. Now here again, before we move on with this, I want to stress again. We saw the Gemara talk about what is Yisurim Shel Ava. First is the Yisurim that are meant to wake you up, right? Take stock, improve your spirituality. Then there's Yisurim Shel Ava. Now as we stressed the other day, and we have to re-stress this again. Even the first two levels are Yisurim Shel Ava. Hashem is doing it to you because He's interested in helping you out. It's just that they're not in this specific class, that level of Yisurim Shel Ava that we're talking about. But all Yisurim Lamaisa, as we saw the Gemara say, Hashem afflicts the person who He cares about. So even the first two levels are expressions of care, obviously. Hashem doesn't want you to go through life without fixing up these things. Hashem wants you to make the most out of yourself. He wants you to get the most out of this world. But now, they have a machlokes as to what qualifies as Yisurim Shel Ava. Kol she'ein b'hem bitul Torah. So one said, the gauge is, does it involve bitul Torah? Meaning, is it suffering that prevents you from learning? If it prevents you from learning, it doesn't make the grade of Yisurim Shel Ava. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Ashrei ha-gever asher tiyasrenu ka. Fortunate is the man who Hashem afflicts, while you teach him your Torah. Meaning that affliction should not come at the expense of learning Torah. If it comes at the expense of learning Torah, it's not Yisurim Shel Ava. A little bit tough. But let's see. The other said, no, I have a different qualification. The following are Yisurim Shel Ava. Kol she'ein b'hem bitul tefillah. Yisurim that do not prevent you from davening. If it prevents you from davening, that's not Yisurim Shel Ava. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Baruch Elokim asher lo hisir tefilasoi v'chastoi meiti. Blessed is Hashem who did not remove, who did not take away his tefillahs from me. Okay, that's some interesting machlokes. A little bit rough, but the Mabit put this into perspective. He goes with his approach. He says, well, he says that the whole purpose of Yisurim Shel Ava, he holds the Shita that Yisurim Shel Ava means it's meant to take you to the next level of work. He says, 1 minute, but if it precludes work at that level, the point is, can you daven and learn at the next level? If you can't daven and learn at all, obviously that's not what Yisurim are for. But let's see what the Gemara concludes. Amalu Rabbi Abba Breider Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, said to them, no. Hachi Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Amar Rabbi Yechon. Chia Bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yechon, Elu ve'elu Yisurim Shel Ava. Both are Yisurim Shel Ava. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Kes Hashem Yoyhav Hashem Yechia. Hashem afflicts the person He loves. Meaning, He afflicted you, means He loves you. Now, meaning, it doesn't matter. Prevents tefillah, prevents Torah, it's all Yisurim Shel Ava. They all make the grade. Elo. So if so, now I just want to note, the way I just explained it is actually machlokes. The Maharsha seems to learn exactly the opposite. Elo ve'elu Yisurim Shel Ava means it's got to meet both conditions. It has to still leave room for Torah and tefillah. But the consensus of the other authorities, including the Shla, the Vilna Goin, Rabbeinu Bachaya, was one of the Rishonim, is that no, it means the opposite. It means that neither qualification is required. Whether it prevents Torah, Tefillah, or both, it's still Yisurim Shalav. And that's why we come back, that the Goin stresses what we said before, that Yisurim is really like almost a free ride. It's handed to you. All you have to do is respond right. 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 Every, now, I'll put that into perspective. Menachem is saying everything is Yisurim Shalav, and the answer is that that's true. Anything Hashem does to you is given to you in order to make you go closer to Him. In the different ways we describe. I'll note though, that it's up to you to mess it up. You can turn it into Yisurim that we're just suffering. Right? By saying, why did this happen to me? Just getting frustrated, not realizing that it's from Hashem. You wasted the opportunity. But, potentially, all Yisurim are meant to draw you closer to Hashem. Again, from like we said, picking up the wrong toothbrush to Rachman al-Itzlan, 30 years in Siberia. The Gemara is rejecting it. The Gemara concludes that those are not conditions. Oh, so again, it's like I said before. In a big sense, Yisurim always show that Hashem cares about you. Now there's a specific category within those Yisurim that's called Yisurim Shalava. We have to remember that. Yisurim Shalava is a specific class that doesn't have to do with atonement, doesn't have to do with Averis, doesn't have to do with failing. But even the ones that do have to do with failing are still expressions of Hashem's care for you. It's the difference between a father who gives his child a slap in order to ensure that he doesn't go into the street again. Is that love? Yeah. Then there's the father who puts his child through a rigorous course. It's also love, but it's a different type of love. It's a higher level of love. Oh, so the way the initial response, that's why the Gemara gives us this clear order. The initial response is always, am I doing something wrong? But not obsessive compulsive. The Mabit stresses this. Is there something reasonably discoverable? Is there something reasonably discoverable that I'm doing wrong? You have to give it.
I can only speak for myself, but I mean, no matter what direction I look at,
that's right.
It's very hard to find.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. If Hashem, it's enough for us if we take that bang on the shin as Hashem telling me, come on, pull the head a little bit.
Am I supposed to be like relating to both at the same time?
Yes, yes. That list, the highest level of Yisurim Shalava, when we say that it's only after you've gone through the no Averis and the no Bittul Torah, that doesn't preclude relating to every Yisurim as an expression of Hashem's love. It's just different types of love. That highest level is love that has nothing to do with a failing on your part. The first level is Hashem saying, you could be doing better, I want you to draw closer to me. They're both love, it's just different types of love. Right? The next level is, no, you're doing nothing wrong, but I want to bring you to a higher level. But the first one is, on the contrary, you got that bang in the shin, say, Hashem, thank you for the attention. And on the contrary, even before you make your improvement, you can already gain out of the Yisurim by letting them draw you closer to Hashem in that way. All Yisurim are like that. This covers everything. That has to be clear, unequivocally. The initial assumption is always that he's trying to correct us, and we should generally, I think we can safely say that we can always relate to it that way. But even that is a compliment, because it means that Hashem is interested in you. Hashem cares for you. If he didn't, first of all, he might not be interested in you at all. Second of all, he might say, all right, let the guy wait. After 120, we'll settle scores. By Hashem giving you that bang on the shin, he's telling you, no, I want you to get to Olam Haba all set up. So even if it is because of a failing, it's still expression of Hashem's love. That's the idea. That's the idea we're trying to convey here. Okay. Now, so he says, no, whatever it is, Yisurin Shalava can even include preventing a person from davening or learning. Now, so if so, why does the pasuk say, "Fortunate is the man who you afflict and you teach your Torah," which implies that part and parcel of the Yisurim should be getting ahead in Torah? No, that's not what it means. Yisurim do not have to involve getting ahead in Torah. Al tikri tilamdenu. Don't read, "Fortunate is the man who you afflict and you teach him your Torah." Don't read "and you teach him your Torah," but rather, "Ela tilmedenu." Read, "Fortunate is the man who Hashem afflicts, umitairascha tilmedenu." And from the Torah you can derive it. Changing the grammar of the word. Meaning, fortunate is the man that Hashem afflicts, that's a principle. And then we say, umitairascha tilmedenu. That principle can be derived from the Torah. How do we derive that principle from the Torah? Dava zemitairascha tilmedenu. This principle, that Yisurin are a sign of Hashem's love, can be derived from the Torah in the following way. Kal v'chomer mishem v'ayin. It's a kal v'chomer from the halacha that of a tooth and an eye. What's the halacha of a tooth and an eye? A slave, if you knock out the tooth or eye of a Canaanite slave, he goes free. Right? So now, now, the tooth and the eye are just one limb. But by losing it, slave goes free. Yisurim, that really process a whole person's body, they put the whole body through the grind. Certainly has this same effect. Meaning, you see that the loss of even just a tooth or an eye can bring a person to a whole new state, right? Liberating. So certainly Yisurim, real suffering, can torture a person's whole body, do the same. But so that applies to another Kanani. So the Maral puts this into the perspective that we mentioned earlier in the Gemara. He says as follows. What's going on here? Eved Kanani is not Jewish. Not lucky enough. He loses a tooth. Then what happens? He goes free. What happens when an Eved Kanani goes free? Turns Jewish automatically. Look at this. Loses a tooth, and now he's on a completely new level of spirituality. That's the lesson here of the Gemara. You lost the quarter. Okay, I don't know if you can derive the quarter from the tooth. Whatever it is, yes. You went through an ordeal, and now, boom, you've reached a completely different level of what your previous state was. We'll stop there tonight.